Welcome to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the books that we are using, From Slavery to Freedom by John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by William A. Banks, from our website at historybabc.com. Now, here's your host, national best-selling author and president of Gospel Light Society International, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the to episode number 56 of the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. Our scripture verse for today is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, which reads, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Our History of Black Americans in the Black Church quote for today is from Dr. Gardner C. Taylor. He said, "There are days when we can bring before God a deep and glad laughter of joy and gratitude. There will be other days when we can only muster a bitter, angry complaint. If it is honest, be confident that God will accept whatever it is we truly have to lift up before Him, and He will make it serve His purpose and our good." Beloved, in this podcast, we are using as our texts From Slavery to Freedom by Dr. John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by Dr. E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by William A. Banks. Our first topic for today is titled The Plantation System, Part 8, from the book From Slavery to Freedom by Dr. John Hope Franklin. The cost of producing sugar increased as soil exhaustion manifested itself after a century of intensive cultivation. The price of slaves, moreover, was going up as the demand for them increased on the mainland. White society was so completely without resourceful and imaginative leadership that it was not able to discover areas of economic activity that would compensate for the losses it was sustaining in older activities. Desperate efforts were made both in Europe and in the island colonies to encourage whites to migrate to the Caribbean. Some islands required planters to import proportionate numbers of whites for all of the slaves they brought, but many planters found it easier to pay the fines. With a surplus of slaves on their hands, the residents of the West Indies were willing to sell many of them to the mainland colonies. The increasing exportation of slaves from the West Indies is a clear manifestation of social and economic debility. After several centuries of European occupation, religious institutions were still weak, and vice and immorality of all kinds flourished. Education was at an especially low ebb, and ignorance prevailed even among whites. The ineffectiveness of the law showed itself in its inability to prevent running away insurrections and widespread miscegenation. In sending many of their slaves to the mainland, the West Indies served notice to the world that they had yielded the long-held economic primacy in the New World to the mainland. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will begin looking at slavery in the mainland, Latin America, in our next episode. Our second topic for today is Negro Religion in the City, Part 5, from the Negro Church in America, by Dr. E. Franklin Frazier. The change in status was related in part to the fact that in the northern city, the Negro children received the same education as the white child, even when they were not in the same school with whites. The education was of a nature to broaden their intellectual horizon and give them an entirely new outlook on life. In addition, education opened the door to many occupations that had been closed to Negroes on account of race in the South. As a consequence, there was an acceleration of the occupational differentiation of the Negro population in northern cities. Whereas, for example, preachers constituted about 50% of the professional class among Negroes in the South, in northern cities, where nearly 9/10 of the Negroes in the North lived, only one professional Negro in 10 was a preacher. And what was important, Negroes were not only to be found in most of the occupational groups in the northern cities, but Negro professional men and women and white-collar workers were not confined to the Negro community as in the South. On the basis of the occupational differentiation of the Negro population, a new system of social stratification or socioeconomic classes came into existence. We have noted the simple stratification of the Negro community in the South, which consisted of a small upper class based largely upon family and a light complexion and later based to some degree upon education. As a result of the entrance of Negroes into new occupations, some of whom served the new needs of the large Negro communities in northern cities, a new class structure emerged consisting of three major classes. The new class system has not only helped to change the traditional organization of Negro life, but it has caused the Negro church to adapt itself to the general outlook and religious requirements of the different classes. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together. And Lord, next week we pray, if you should tarry your coming and we live, that we will have Banks, Dr. Banks, back with us, for he has a unique perspective as well. And I thank you so much, Lord, for the producer of this podcast, putting it together. And I thank you so much for you're giving me the mind to do this podcast, for it has been a blessing not only to others but to me. And we pray that in the end, lost souls will come to know you, Lord Jesus, as Savior. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. Now, in closing, allow me to say that, like so many of you, I grew up in a very religious and church-going family. And during that time, I often heard the phrase, being saved. Now, much of what the church people whom I grew up around said being saved was, I now know, is wrong according to the Bible. For example, joining the church, being baptized, doing good things, good works, or being a good person or trying to be one, does not mean you are saved and will not get you saved. I wrote an article about this matter titled On Being Saved in Black America some years ago, which is available for you to read free of charge on our website, GospelLightSociety.com. Right now, I want to share with you very briefly what the Bible says being saved really is.
Thank you for listening to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the books that we are using, From Slavery to Freedom by John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by William A. Banks, from our website at historybabc.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcasts, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. God bless.